The text is Psalm 23, verses 1 and 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word camcorder was first used in 1981. Now you can add cam to just about anything, and to kids of Kata and James age, that's normal, and they know what it means. Helmet cams, bike cams, skate cams are cameras that give you the point of view from where they're attached. For you two today, I give you the sheep cam. There's a 1970 book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's worth the read. It explains Psalm 23 from the shepherd's view. The point being that shepherding in the 20th century AD had changed little from shepherding in the 10th century BC. I don't really know about that, but I do know that being a sheep hasn't changed. And today you're making public profession that you're sheep of the Good Shepherd. So what does that look like? The sheep cam shows you. The Lord is my shepherd. What a condensation he makes. The Lord Yahweh, who walked with Adam in Eden, divided the Red Sea, shook Mount Zion, and walks among the lampstands in heaven, is my shepherd. But this condensation doesn't hit fully home because we've lived through what David had it. God becoming flesh through the virgin's womb and dwelling among us. God Almighty humbled himself, not fully using his divine powers as a man, so that he might suffer and die on the cross for us. So that he's my shepherd, well, that doesn't sound all that humbling. One day, Lord willing, you, as an adult, will play a game with a child. You will giggle, gamble, and be silly. And maybe that child you're playing with will have a poopy diaper. He won't smell it, you will. That's what the Lord does when he shepherds us, no matter our age. Sheep stink of the devil, the world, and their own sinful flesh. Yet our Lord Jesus delights in shepherding us. That's right, what David actually wrote is, Yahweh shepherds me, not the Lord is my shepherd. Ra'ah is a Hebrew verb used 173 times in the Old Testament. 75 of those times, the King James translates feed. 63 times, shepherd. The point here is that Psalm 23:1, we confess Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, is actively taking care of our needs. To some extent, what you need at 14 will be what you need at 21, 31, 51, and 71. There's never going to come an age when you won't need forgiveness. You will always have needs of body and soul. No one, not even you, will always know what they are or how to fill them. The Lord who shepherds you, who feeds you, does and will. Watch the 1980 movie, My Bodyguard. A kid at a new school hires the school's most feared kid as a guardian. I am not telling you that having the Lord shepherding you means you'll never be bullied or sick or sad. I am telling you what God's holy word says. You shall not want. Actually, that can be translated in the present tense. I do not want, or future, I shall not want. In either case, there's a fullness, there is a confidence to the expression. There's no if, there's no but, there's no, I hope the Lord shepherds me. Nope, he has, he does, he will. That's why you shall not, you cannot, you do not lack, want, need. The rest of the psalm, detailing green pastures, still waters, righteous paths, through death's shadow, a table in the presence of your enemies, all that shows from the sheep's view what having the Lord shepherding you looks like. You know how many times I've read Psalm 23 to someone dying? You know how many times I've recited it in dire need? If the Lord shepherding the dying, the distraught, the lonely, the fearful, the tempted, comforts them, it will comfort you as you go on to high school, to college, to life. The sheep cam shows you your Lord Jesus shepherding you. It also shows you him hounding you. With your parents' permission, watch the YouTube video of Richard Burton reading the 1893 poem, The Hound of Heaven. Or read the 17th century novel, The Pilgrim's Progress. Or if that's too much to read, read C.S. Lewis's The Pilgrim's Regress. You probably won't need them in your high school years, but you will in your college years. These will show you that the doubts, the questions, the temptations that you have are not new to you, but common to all sheep. And their only goal is to pull you away from the Lord who shepherds you. Let me tell you a story. During World War I, Turkish soldiers tried to steal a flock near Jerusalem. The shepherd woke to his sheep being driven off. Rather than chasing them down and being no match for the soldiers anyway, he gave out his peculiar call. The sheep hearing it stopped and rushed to him. The soldiers were unable to stop them. The liturgy that you weekly hear, the catechism that you've memorized, and those bullet points I gave you are your shepherd's peculiar call. You are going to be exposed to people perfectly happy with their own truth. They won't have an ounce of guilt about their version of morality, which you will recognize is immorality. They'll be as confident as Humpty Dumpty that not just their words, but God's words mean just what they choose them to mean. You'll meet Christians who believe they've decided to follow Jesus, that baptism is simple water only without forgiveness, rescue from death and the devil, and certainly without salvation. And you'll meet Christians who believe the body and blood of Christ can only be in heaven and not on their altars and most definitely not in their mouths. The bullet points, the catechism, the liturgy are meant to be 10,000 little hooks to snag you, to hold you back, to give you time to consider just what it means to go from one confession of faith to another. It's not a matter of simply changing clothes. It's moving out of one house into another. It's even harder when the houses are similar in many respects and you're told the differences are only external. Jesus, the hound of heaven, says different. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." That means if the liturgy, the catechism, or the bullet points are not faithful to his voice, by all means, leave. Run even. Move out. But know that's what you're doing. If, however, you can't say they are not faithful to the shepherd's voice, then know that if you do move out, you're also moving away from his goodness and mercy. These are the two hounds with which your good shepherd pursues you. Think of them like sheepdogs. Watch a video of how they work to keep sheep with the rest of the flock. They don't hurt the sheep, but they don't get let up either. By the goodness that follows you to high school, to college, to life, and even into death, the good shepherd provides all you need. By the mercy following you, he blots out all your sins. These twin guardian angels, goodness and mercy, since they always follow you, will always have your back. And since they are provided you for Jesus' sake, you can always beckon them. The good shepherd who is a hound doesn't bay after you in anger. No, he went to the cross bearing the anger of God against all your sins and everyone else's. He went there, suffered there, damned and died there to put out that anger. And he was risen from the grave to give chase with goodness and mercy. Today, you too confess he caught you. Today, I'm telling you, he will continue to give chase no matter where you go with his word and sacrament. which are the epitome of his goodness and mercy. This can only mean one thing. Of the 37 translations I checked, only two translate the first verse, the first word of verse 6, only instead of surely. Indeed, King James translates ak more often only not here. Only makes the promises of the good shepherd, from a sheep's point of view, too big for life. Certainly bigger than my sins, bigger than my death, and even bigger than the devil himself. When you were a child, like most children, you probably liked to be chased. As you grow, not so much. Follow me can be translated pursue closely. When I say breathing down your neck, you know exactly what it means. Education, love, work, family, sin, temptation, etc. can and will pursue closely, till at last all that will be on your heels will be death. Not so fast. Goodness and mercy will be there even then. And Jesus says you can look back and see only them. And you know what only having God's goodness and mercy for Jesus' sake means? You're not only going to cross that river. You're not only going to live forever. You're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Virtually all people will turn into God's house to say a prayer. This is the old adage that there's no atheists in foxholes. With my generation, I can say that. With yours, I'm not so sure. However, it's still true. Even in this benighted age, the house of the Lord beckons in times of trial and fear. And people do turn in here to say a prayer, but they don't dwell here. It's like Kipling's poem, A Time for Prayer. In times of war and not before, God and the soldier we adore, but in times of peace and all things righted, God is forgotten and the soldier slighted. But you too are of tender conscience. That's much to be preferred to having a hard one, and certainly to having an evil one which feels guilty for everything. But being of tender conscience, you sense too much of you in dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. It's really not there, but you hear the I will dwell louder than the rest. In times like this, run quickly to the gospel that is louder still. Jesus says in John 8:35, the servant dwells not in the house forever, but the Son dwells forever. Jesus is the Son who dwells forever in the Father's house and has made plenty of room for you by living the perfect life you can't and dying the guilty death you could but don't have to. Actually, from another viewpoint, from the sheep camp perspective, he not only dwells in the Father's house and has prepared rooms for you there, he is the Father's house. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Or jump to Revelation 21:22, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are heaven's temple. You were baptized into the Lamb who has altered your shepherd as infants. Now you're going to be bodied and blooded to him for life. Since baptism, you've had all the gifts of the good shepherd. But when you're admitted to his table and his cup overflowing with forgiveness is given you, it's a special day. The church of the first two centuries expressed this by giving the newly confirmed their first communion together with milk and honey to symbolize that they had entered the promised land. No sheep cam can see this, but sheep can. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue now with the prayers.